Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. There's so many buttons to push. You know, we're going live right now on YouTube and Facebook and Omega Radio and Blog Talk Radio, and we're so glad that you're tuned in today. Have a lot of great things to talk about right now. Up on the Hill, there's a big conversation about the Ukrainian collusion now that's going on, and again, God is frustrating the token of the liars. He's frustrating their purposes. And for that, we're glad, because we love to see righteousness and justice prevail in every and any situation. That's going to be a long haul up there on the Hill. So we'll wait and see where all of that goes. But I want to talk to you about something a little bit different today than what we've been talking about. By the way, before we get into this Bible study, what Daniel Seckham brought to the airwaves yesterday from Australia was nothing short of brilliant. And if you have not yet heard the interview yesterday with Daniel Seckham, you need to get that. And you could find it on our Facebook page from yesterday. The video is there. Or you could go to our website at omegaradio.org and then go under the shows and you'll find an archive of yesterday's broadcast with Daniel. And it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. I think the president of the United States probably already knows all that stuff, but he needs to hear what Daniel's talked about yesterday. And if not the president, then every person in this country that loves the United States of America for what its original intent was and its values and at the core are, they need to hear that, because it was brilliant. And to realize the mechanism of warfare against the country was also brilliant. So I would encourage you, go to our website, omegaradio.org. Go under the shows tab, and there's an archive of yesterday's broadcast. And you could also go to Facebook and find the video of that as well. And just a shout out to our friends, Clarence and his family over in London. They've been there for a couple of days, and doors are opening to them. And we want to shout out to you if you're able to see us right now, Clarence, all the way across the pond, as they say. Welcome to the broadcast. And for everybody else that's tuning in, God bless you. You're listening to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Some of the best messages you're ever going to hear. Honestly, just a compilation of everything that's out there 24/7. It just continues. And of course, on the Blog Talk Radio, to our friends that are out there. Someone had asked me today, can you listen to our broadcast on telephone? And the answer is yes. And the number to call is 818-369-0326. And the good thing about that is you don't just have to listen. You can actually call in, and we have the ability to take your call and listen to anything that may be on your heart and mind. We believe it's the voice of many waters that brings us together in a community of believers talking about relevant things. And what we're going to talk about today, what's in my spirit today to really share that I thought was impressive and exciting, full of adventure in life, is going to be found in 2 Timothy today. So we're going to go there and talk about it. So why don't we just kind of flow into that right now? And again, we trust that we are being heard on the YouTube and on Facebook. And in just about 27 minutes, my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, will be joining us right here talking and adding to the broadcast. So here's what I wanted to share with you today. If you are a believer, particularly, let's just move into this because this is spiritual, okay? This is beyond politics. This is beyond the here and now. This is beyond the temporary world that we live in. We have gone out of our way to make it abundantly clear that life is a vapor. The Word of God tells us that what is your life but a vapor? And so some of us have a little bit longer of a vapor than others. Some of us have a little bit shorter of a vapor than others, but the fact remains that life is a vapor. And when it's over, it's extinguished. That's it as far as being on this earth in the here and now. But God has a plan, and it is something that extends beyond the vapor of life. And I want to share it with you the way the Apostle Paul puts this in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'll just pick it up in verse 8. So Paul, writing to his son in the faith, says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." So in other words, Paul, writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, sharing with him, you know, partake of the afflictions that come along with preaching the gospel, but do it according to the power of God that's in you, so that you'll be able to overcome every situation. And then Paul seems to go off on a beautiful, beautiful journey here in verse 9, talking about the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So again, very interesting that there is a calling, a salvation that God has granted, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. So the eternal purpose of God, the grace of God that's given to you and I, comes through our faith and acceptance and receiving Christ Jesus. And it was in him before the world began. So the eternal purpose of God was in Christ before the world began. And when you and I receive him, or anybody on the earth at any time in the epoch of time receives him, they become a part of that eternal purpose and that plan. Paul's making this very clear to his son in the faith again. And then he goes on to say this in verse 10, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." All right, so Jesus Christ abolished death on the cross. When Jesus went to the cross and took the penalty of the sins of the human race, he abolished death by doing what? By bringing life and immortality to light, again, through the gospel. And so I was wanting to be, as I am a bit inquisitive, what is immortality? What is life and immortality? How does he bring it to light? Well, before the gospel of Jesus Christ, whatever theories or philosophies may have existed, Jesus Christ did something through the resurrection that kind of qualified him to be more intelligent than people that just talk about things or theorize about things. Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, abolished death. And when he rose from the grave, he had the keys of hell and death. In other words, he had the victory, the power over hell and death. And he abolished death, or the power of death, meaning that because of the resurrection, because of his abolishing death on the cross, that he was now able to impart or to give back to the creation life and immortality. And so, what is immortality? And it's pretty simple. Immortality is eternal life, being exempt from death. It is the unending existence. And this is where it gets real interesting here, because this kind of took me on a trail. I don't think it was a bad rabbit trail. I think it was good, talking about immortality. Some modern species may possess biological immortality. Certain scientists or futurists and philosophers have theorized about the immortality of the human body, with some suggesting that human immortality may be achievable, listen to this, may be achievable in the first few decades of the 21st century. Other advocates believe that life extension is a more achievable goal in the short term, with immortality awaiting further research breakthroughs. The absence of aging would provide humans with biological immortality, but not invulnerability to death by disease or physical trauma. Although mind uploading could solve that if it proved possible. Whether the process of internal endo-immortality is delivered within the upcoming years depends chiefly on research, and in neuro research or neuron research, in the case of endo-immortality through an immortalized cell line in the former view, and perhaps is an awaited goal in the latter case. What is this article talking about? It's talking about the goal of scientists, people that are theorizing and philosophizing, if you will, or actually seeking a strand, a cell strand, an immortalized cell line. In other words, the scientists are trying to create eternal life, immortality, and they believe they could do it scientifically through the gene pool. Now, a couple of thoughts immediately that came to my mind is, why would somebody want to live an immortal life in a broken state? So in other words, even if scientists were able to create immortality through the gene pool, well, isn't that the reason why God thrust Adam and Mrs. Adam out of the garden, lest they eat and live forever in their fallen condition? I mean, even God was merciful and full of grace at that point, seeing that they had fallen. To keep them alive in that condition forever would have been brutal. So scientists today trying to replace God, right, are into this stuff. They really are wanting to do this, provide this. They want to be God again. But it gets even more interesting. Obviously, something they mentioned was mind uploading. So they want to do something to the physical being of a human being through something called mind uploading. And what is mind uploading? Well, it's whole brain emulation, which they call WBE, mind upload or brain upload, sometimes called mind copying or mind transfer, is the hypothetical futuristic process of scanning the mental state, including long-term memory and self, of a particular brain substrate and copying it to a computer. The computer could then run a simulation model of the brain's information processing such that it would respond in essentially the same way as the original brain, i.e., indistinguishable from the brain for all relevant purposes, and experience having a conscious mind. All right? So substantial mainstream research in related areas is being conducted in animal brain mapping and simulation development of faster supercomputers, virtual reality, brain-computer interfaces, connectomics, and information extraction from dynamically functioning brains. So according to supporters, many of the tools and ideas needed to achieve mind uploading already exist or are currently under active development. So it's not just a theoristic, you know, Star Trek, whimsical thought or philosophy from those that are involved. I mean, this is actually an ongoing thrust, a desire. And again, the human being without God is all about survival. I mean, the survival instinct in man. And so death is a very fearful thing to mankind. And so the idea of creating eternal life without God, without Jesus Christ, which in him alone dwells immortality and light and life, we know that. And as born again, spirit-filled Christians, we receive the gift of life and immortality. That should be exciting to every one of us, that we are going to go on into an immortal, eternal existence with an immortal, eternal, invisible God today. And yet man, again, thrusting in technology and seeking to create life and immortality for himself, you can see where it really leads, right? But we're going to get to the important stuff here in just a moment. Again, this is an ongoing, and it is currently under active development. However, those who are working towards this end, they will admit that others are as yet very speculative, but still in the realm of engineering possibility. Neuroscientist Randall Cohen has formed a nonprofit organization called Carbon Copies to promote mind uploading research. Mind uploading may potentially be accomplished by either of two methods: copy and transfer, or gradual replacement of neurons. In the case of the former method, which would be, again, copy and transfer, mind uploading would be achieved by scanning and mapping the salient features of a biological brain, and then by copying, transferring, and storing that information state into a computer system or another computational device. So the biological brain may not survive the copying process. The simulated mind could be within a virtual reality or simulated world supported by an atomic 3D body simulation model. Alternatively, the simulated mind could reside in a computer inside or connected to a not necessarily humanoid robot or a biological body. So among some futurists and within the transhumanist movement, mind uploading is treated as an important proposed life extension technology. Some believe mind uploading is humanity's current best option for preserving the identity of the species, as opposed to cryonics. Another aim of mind uploading is to provide a permanent backup to our mind file to enable interstellar space travels and a means for human culture to survive a global disaster by making a functional copy of a human society in a Matryoshka brain. Again, that's a Matryoshka brain, i.e. a computing device that consumes all energy from a star. Well, whole brain emulation is discussed by some futurists as a logical endpoint of the topical computational neuroscience and neuroinformatics fields, both about brain simulation for medical research purposes. You know, I'm getting giddy about this because, again, man is just laboring in the futility of his existence. And rather than just receiving the gift of life, eternal life, and immortality, he just refuses to return to his maker, who is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. I mean, it's just funny to me that man would employ such resource and energy and thought and all these skills and technologies to a futile end, and yet he cannot see it. He knows that he is dying. The lifespan of human beings has been shortened, so what is he going to do? He's going to try to extend it, and not only extend it, but to preserve it into the realm of immortality and an eternal state. And yet, biblically, the Apostle Paul goes out of his way to rejoice in the fact that you and I have eternal life. How unnecessary. I mean, how dark is the prospect that your journey with God, your faith, your worship, your obedience, your cooperation, your willingness to worship the King, immortal, eternal, the living God, right? How desperately dark would it be for you and I to exist on this earth with no future, with nothing of eternity, nothing of immortality, nothing of life, that here is the time to worship God, then die and have no meaning to it. I mean, to just live as a creature created in the image and likeness of God, whether good or bad, to live for this moment, this brief vapor, to die, to be extinguished and have nothing more. Well, that's what the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, the sects of their part, entertained the idea that there was no life after death. And Jesus Christ demonstrated life after death in his own resurrection, where 500 witnesses, above 500 witnesses, saw this. So Jesus to you, Jesus to me, Jesus to us is more than just a religion for this earth. He's more than just a philosophy to this earth. He is the resurrector. He is the energy. He is the life, the eternal life, and he's giving it through our faith in him to us freely so that we can live here and now and become everything that God has called us to be, do everything God has called us to do, find that relationship with God, to worship God, to honor God, to declare to the world God, God. And the world is saying, we don't want God. We are God. And so the church must be the voice of God in these days. And what we're looking at is the desperate attempts of a fallen humanity to sustain himself. I mean, whether it's through sustainable development in the United Nations or whether it's sustainable development, sustainable cultivation, sustainable anything, man is just simply trying to sustain himself without the one who gives life. God will sustain us. God energizes us. God gives us immortality. God does it. And the promises of Scripture that we are going to get glorified bodies, thank God. We're not going to be in these bodies, these limited, weak bodies of flesh and disease and corruption and defilement, that God has promised an eternal body that our spirit and soul can live in forever without end. I mean, and never get bored within it. I mean, we can't even begin to imagine or fathom the greatness of what God has prepared for those that love him. But I know it's off the charts. I know it's beyond our ability. And so you and I have to have zero fear of death. And do you notice in all this conversation, it's about the fatal, an extinction level event, a little Ellie, that man's got to prepare himself to sustain and to preserve his humanity. So because they know something of a disaster, catastrophe is coming, they've seen it all before. And so they're thinking of something on greater scales. They know something instinctively. Intrinsically, the human being knows, something's wrong. So now the scientific community is laboring to try to sustain and preserve, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. If they would just bow the knee in reverential awe to the God who gives breath to all things. And remember, you and I were created to be a kingdom of kings and priests unto God. And we worship God and we honor God and we praise God. We acknowledge that he gives life and breath to all things. The only thing that is keeping the universe animated is God. He upholds all things by the word of his power, Hebrews chapter 1. He is upholding all things by the word of his power. We are animated and have breath because of him. I mean, this is awesome when our faith will apprehend it. But, man says, well, it takes faith to believe in God. Well, they're utilizing more faith to try to do what they're doing through technology and their own human effort. That requires faith to sustain, to preserve a humanity apart from God. It's impossible. It'll never happen. It won't work. It'll turn into a scientific Frankenstein, disaster. Because unredeemed man is trying to preserve unredeemed man, and it will all end in unredemptive failure. Come on, this is what the Bible says about our futility and our vanity as a human race species without God. And yet with God, with Jesus, our sins are forgiven. The blood has cleansed us. We are washed in the blood. We ought to be, of all people on this earth, the most rejoicing, thankful people, praising God people. Anywhere, because there's no one like us that can do that. There's nothing in the created universe that can worship and give glory to God for who he is and what he's done than you and I. And if the whole world refuses to do it, you should do it. I should do it. Forget about the left and right and who's behind us and who's ahead of us or before us, behind us, above, beneath, whatever. We're here right now to declare the glory of God and to know that we have some incredible future rewards coming, not only in the here and now, but in the, down the road. So I'm giddy about this, but let me just continue a little bit more in this article. It is discussed in artificial intelligence research publications as an approach to strong AI. Computer-based intelligence, such as an upload, could think much faster than a biological human, even if it were no more intelligent. So again, supercomputers. Where's this going? The mark of the beast, right? I mean, technology, 666, the number of man, the barcode. It's all moving in this direction, satanically inspired. It's not just human beings at their best or worst. It is a satanically inspired design to captivate, enslave as many human beings as possible. Man, if you're going to be a Christian in today's world, you need to have your voice shouting from the housetops everywhere you go to the world around you. Don't get caught in the trap of artificial intelligence or computer sciences. But people love technology. We all love technology. Look what we're doing right now by technology. I mean, technology is awesome, right? But don't get caught into it. And Jesus said, like a snare, it'll come upon the whole earth and they will not escape. Beware of the devices that we have in our hands, right? All these computers and phones and all of it. And what would life be without artificial intelligence, without technology? How would we live? Well, go back 100 years, 200 years, and it's not easy to know that for 6,000 years back, people lived without it. And we need to be careful in this final generation that has witnessed more end-time Bible prophecy. Listen, the human heart has been the same since the fall of Adam. Nothing has changed in the human heart. The only thing that changes the human heart is our coming to faith in Christ, being born again. Philosophy does not make you born again. Thinking differently about something does not make you born again. The only dramatic reality as far as heart change is a born-again experience with God, a spiritual enlightenment from the King of Glory, right? That is the only change. But everything else in human nature is the same as it's been for 6,000 years. So what has changed in our generation? What makes our generation unique to Bible prophecy? Folks, in all these thousands of years, Israel was not a nation. What has changed in our generation? End time Bible prophecy telling us that Israel would be a nation once again in the last days. End time Bible prophecy telling us that technology would explode, that people would be traveling to and fro throughout the earth on wings. Why did Daniel see these things in Daniel chapter 12? We are a unique generation in the sense that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes in the book of Revelation, which we have begun again, another study every Saturday night. We are studying. I can't wait to be able to get our Bible studies online and streaming them for people out there that would love to be a part of what we're talking about, because the book of Revelation is opening right now. It's been a closed book. It's been a sealed book, and people have been running to and fro seeking to understand, but the understanding wasn't there because it wasn't time. But now the book of Revelation is opening, and the reality and the fantastic, well, it's an awesome book. Let me just leave it there. Now, let's go a little bit further in this here, just a little bit. Computer-based intelligence, such as an upload, can think much faster than a biological human. So again, here's artificial intelligence. A large-scale society of uploads might, according to futurists, give rise to a technological singularity, meaning a sudden time constant decrease in the exponential development of technology. Mind uploading is a central conceptual feature of numerous belief systems everywhere right now. What is this? Scripture, immortality. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why would you be afraid of death if your Lord has destroyed and abolished death's power? I mean, Paul the Apostle said, to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know what it boils down to? An affection for where your heart is. Do you desire, do you have an affection for the things of the world? And so you don't want to die because we don't want to lose what the world has offered us and we're so familiar with it, right? We act as though we've been here forever. We've only been here for a short span, a few years. And yet it all boils down to affection. What do you love more? Well, the Apostle Paul had such an affection for God and for Jesus Christ, for Yahweh, for Yeshua. He had such an affection that his labor on the earth was only a benefit to those that he was teaching and promoting Christ to, but his ultimate aim and desire was to be poured out so he could go be with the Lord. It all boils down to affection, Patricia Joy Xavier. It certainly does, and I'm going to shift this camera. I'm going to do this right this time. I'm going to get this little thing out of the way. Hold on for everybody out there.
Yes.
And I want to shift this so that my beautiful wife, Patricia, can begin to weigh in on this conversation. There you are, darling. How
Hello.
Are you? What's
I am
going
wonderful
on?
Today. Thank you. And we have one more day to get it right.
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful?
It is. You know, Patricia, I have to just get into something. I know you're going to talk about the, you know, whatever it is God's put in your heart, but you were in New Age. You were in scientific thought. You love the idea of eternity and immortality and all these things. And when you found Jesus Christ, you found the access point, didn't you?
I sure did. You know what I found? True peace. He's the only one that can give it because he's our creator. He knows how we work best. And I wasn't no longer in deception, but I was in truth. Yes, in Jesus' name. And regarding what's going on right now on the committees that are talking against Trump or trying to find things that are wrong that he is doing so they can impeach him. I know one thing for sure. What is in the darkness will be revealed by the light. And that is an assurity we have in Christ Jesus. And I would like to present to you a scripture that is going on this very moment regarding what's happening. And in, Isaiah 45, starting in 24, it says that the Lord, your Redeemer and your Creator says, I am the Lord who made all things. I alone stretched out the heavens by myself. I make the earth and everything in it. I am the one who exposes the false prophets as liars by causing events to happen that are contrary to their predictions, causing wise people who think they are wise but are foolish to give bad advice, thus providing them to be the fools they really are. And I believe that's what we're seeing right now as they are in the committee trying to present a falsehood. And I know it's going to be seen as exactly that very shortly. But, you know, the Lord is involved. And who are these liars? Those who prevent justice, and we're seeing that in action. Those who sponsor falsehood. Lovers of darkness, which will be revealed in the light. Thieves, killers, and murderers. Sorrow and discord planters. For these liars to operate, they need weapons. They need a medium in which we're seeing right now on live media, on television. A medium examples are their tongues. This is what they use. They use their tongues. People of like minds, they'll gather together. Intimidation is what their desire is to do. And they use their position of authority and they use people in high places and connections. And that's what we're seeing with the liberals right now. And they're going full force in it. But God will reveal the darkness and by shining the light. And we're going to see it. It's going to happen. And it's exciting in a way because so much has been wrong. So much has gone wrong. And there has been things done in this nation that are appalling. And the time is now that all that has been in the darkness will be revealed in the light. Pray for the whole situation that is going on right now on television with the comedia, the committee and the media and the...
Yeah, I like that. You actually said the comedians, the committee and the media. That's so two words combined is the comedians. And Patricia, while you're speaking, I'm looking at Isaiah 44:24 that thus saith the Lord, thy redeemer and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that makes all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreads abroad the earth by myself. That frustrates the tokens of the liars.
That's what I said.
And maketh diviners mad. Uh-huh. That turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolish. That confirms the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. Wow. So God is well able to do that. Patricia, we're talking about the deception in the last days, again, is a very real deal. And it is important that we walk in the light, in the truth, and we want to see things, for their genuine, you know, existence. What's really, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of, television and propaganda. There's a lot of theater everywhere. Everything is theater. And what is the truth? And that's why we bury ourselves in the word of God and keep our head in the heavens, isn't it?
It is the only truth that truly exists. Everything else has been built upon it or brought into deception as much as possible by using it wrongly and twisting it like a Leviathan spirit. And the Leviathan spirit takes what is true and twists it into that which is not true. And this is what is happening right now. We're watching with our own eyes, hearing with our ears, what is happening in the world today. And who is the backer of all of this? Who is the horror figure in it? It is Satan himself, and he is moving with a thrust. And realize that when you see these things come about on these committees and the things that are being perpetrated to try to destroy truth, actually, and bring in falsity so that they can control and have their way, it is backed by the evil one himself, Satan, and his cohorts and their workers. So know that that's what we're doing. That's what we're watching. That's what we're seeing at this time. And be aware of it. And without knowing the word of God, you're going to be deceived. You need to know the word of God for yourself.
You know, it's one of the reasons why we spend how much time every week, 6 days a week, in Bible study, in prayer, in the word of God. We do this. And I think it's useful because it's keeping us out of the turmoil of the world. It's keeping us out of the philosophy of the world. Patricia, I've had a scripture in my spirit, and I really wish you and I could be on the same screen together. But I have a scripture in my spirit that's been there for the last several days. And I'm gonna release it right now because I love that you and I belong to a spiritual kingdom, that we serve the invisible God, but he is Almighty God. I love the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I love the fact that we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our sins are forgiven. I love that we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we have eternal life through the Holy Spirit. I love all of this beautiful gospel that it's all centered in Jesus Christ. And I love the fact that truth, you know, whenever it comes forth, the righteous rejoice. I love when righteousness and justice prevail in any situation because that's the heart of the Father, and he's put his heart in us. I love all of these things, and yet the inescapable reality is that our nation, and you're hearing this everywhere, is a divided nation. It seems like the light is light getting lighter, and the darkness is getting darker. And whenever you have a situation, you come to that Isaiah prophecy, arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, and the Lord shall arise upon you. So we have a division within our nation, and we have a lot of shenanigans going on. Every weapon that's been employed by the adversary that Daniel talked about yesterday, whether it's Hollywood, whether it's media, whether it's the universities, the enemy has taken hold of powerful platforms and is being useful in bringing people to a point of this divisiveness that we see. And so the scripture that I see in Isaiah chapter 10, familiar passage, but it has meaning. O Assyrian, who is the Assyrian? The ancient adversary of Israel, right? And yet God says, O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff or the weapon in their hand is mine indignation. So God is saying through the prophet Isaiah concerning the Assyrian nation, a cruel, bitter nation, that God was going to employ the Assyrian, who was the rod of God's anger. God was angry at Israel. And because of all the rhetoric we see in our country, you know, we kind of try to put God into some emotional box of our own. If God was angry at Israel for the crimes they had committed, then God is angry at America, for we have done worse, you have to admit, worse than Israel had ever done. What we've done in this country, you just saw the Jeffrey Epstein skirt lifted up, where thousands of high-powered politicians were involved in pedophilia, sex trafficking, sex with young girls, little boys. I mean, the depth of that depravity runs so deep in Hollywood, politics. There's so much corruption that the earth is beginning to, you know, really shake. It's getting sick. It can't stomach what's going on anymore. And that's where I think your global warming and your climate control problems are all talking about really is a biblical spiritual thing. So the Assyrian, Patricia, was the rod of God's anger. The staff or the weapon in their hand was his indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge. Who were the people of God's wrath? The people of God's wrath in this passage was Israel. His own chosen people became the people of his wrath. He was angry with them because they had polluted the covenant and the land that God had covenanted with them to such a degree they were irreprovable. They would no longer turn or repent. And the division and the corruption only grew. So God said, I'm going to bring a hostile nation against you. Now, Israel wasn't the superpower nation in the world in those days, granted. But does God have any problem with pulling down a superpower nation? Did he not allow Rome to be destroyed and Babylon and the ancient empires that were before this nation? Absolutely, he has the power to do it. And I believe, Patricia, that God is sending an adversary against the hypocritical nation of America, the divided nation, the hypocritical nation. We are hypocrites. There's no doubt our nation is hypocritical, loaded with sin, impure. I mean, the meaning of the word hypocritical is far-reaching. And he's sending them against the people of his wrath. So what is it that God will do through this bitter nation? Well, I'm going to have you speak into that for just a moment, and I'll give my thoughts in a bit.
Satan's scheme is to divide and conquer. When he is able to use individuals that have a desire for power, care not about what the truth is, have been deceived by their own desire to rule and to reign, to be powerful and financially gained, he uses them. And that's what you're seeing right now, where these poor folk, and I do mean it, these poor folk that are trying to bring down the presidency in any way possible that they can find, they are going to be confounded. But the backing is Satan himself, whose tactics are to divide and destroy. So the liberal media and the liberals are working in this manner, believing in themselves that they are right. But the truth of the matter is they're deceived. And there is a scripture that I love, and it is spoken of in this manner. God himself frustrates the plans of schemers so the work of their hands will not succeed. This will not succeed. In the long run, all is going to be exposed. That which is in the darkness will be exposed by the light. And the reason for it is when the truth is absolutely understood, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming to remove those who have been totally and completely deceived by Satan. Now, they have a choice to make even now. God is giving opportunity even now. But the time is at hand where there will be no more opportunity given to know the truth, to know who the true Redeemer is, because they themselves that are wicked in this manner believe they are.
Well, amen to that. And Patricia, I want to just, we had a quick news report. Another powerful earthquake just hit Indonesia. And we've heard in just the other day, there was another powerful earthquake. The earth is truly shaking. What I want to present to you and to our listeners is that the Bible is very clear. And this is why we started the program the way we did today, with the ultimate glory of our Creator, of Almighty God, our worship, our eternal life that he's promised us, that we don't have to be afraid of death. However, the Bible is very clear that there is coming upon this nation and around the world. It's already been here, but it's going to come to this country. There's no doubt. And that is persecution. You are, and I are being, are going to be persecuted for our faith in Christ. And I mean real heavy duty persecution. And because there's judgment, and the word judgment means crises, there's a separating factor going on in the world today and in our country. There will be martyrdom. There are those that are going to lay their lives down for the cause of Christ. And we're seeing beheadings already taking place around the world and other places. There will be those Christians that are going to be imprisoned. There are people going to prison like the Jews did in the Nazi concentration camps. There will be much death, and there will be much famine and drought and things of biological and other issues that are going to cause this scenario. We're not making that up. We're not longing for that, wishing for that. But to neglect that and say, well, you know, we're just going to be blinded by the good stuff and not prepare for martyrdom, not prepare for persecution, not prepare for imprisonment, not to prepare. So how do you prepare for those things? You lay your life down now. You give it up now. Our affections have to shift into the eternal. And we always have to have an eternal hope. Jesus Christ in Hebrews, when he was on the cross, the Bible says that he looked beyond the cross to the joy that was set before him. You know, if Jesus, his life would have ended on the cross and that was it, brutal. I mean, absolutely brutal. What futility, what vanity. But he saw beyond it to the joy that was set before him. You and I need to be looking beyond this life. I know we're familiar with it. I know it's hard to imagine that we're going to be somewhere else. But the fact of the matter is, we will. We're not staying here forever. We're going to go back. These bodies are going back to the earth from which they came. And we're going to receive in our inheritance as heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the blessing of eternal life, immortality, in glorified bodies, unspeakable bliss. We can't even comprehend it. Truly, we can't. But it's there. But if we have to endure some critical moments, some trials, some tests, some tribulation, is it not worth it joyfully to endure? And again, it goes back to, where are our affections? Patricia.
There's a great scripture in the book of Revelation. That scripture tells us that he will keep us in the time of trial. He will protect us and keep us in the time of trial. The time of trial will come upon the earth, and it is now. It's the beginning of it, and it's going to continue in its momentum until it crescendos into horrific situations. But there is a promise in the Church of Philadelphia that if you love and continue to keep his word, there will be nothing spoken against you except you will be kept in that time in the palm of his hand in safety. I would recommend you read what the church in Philadelphia was all about. in the book of Revelation. To keep yourself strong and in great hope, because it does give great hope. But right now, where we stand, God's plan will always come to pass. And there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. That's in Proverbs 21:30. The Lord foils the plans of the nations, the wicked. He thwarts the purposes of the wicked people. And we are not going to be part of that. We have made a decision to serve the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. It is a recommendation to you to do the same, because the times we're in is very evil, very deceptive. And so stand now with us. Let the report be known that in the church of Philadelphia, he will keep his own. And that will require love. And you must understand what true love is. And you will not understand until you read the word of God and search for yourself. But he is the only truth, the only life, and the only power that exists. Put your heart, mind, and soul into that now.
Amen. You know, that I love that. That's such a beautiful balance to everything we're talking about. And what I'd like to do, we've got a few minutes left in the broadcast. We want to open the telephone lines. And the number to call is 818-369-0326. Once again, 818-369-0326. We'd welcome our callers that are listening right now on Blog Talk to call into the program. If you have any questions or comments about what you're hearing today, something you'd like to add, remember, it's the voice of many waters. We're remembering our dear friends right now who are on the Indian reservation, Kathy and Ken, and there's some others that are out there doing ministry work on the Indian reservations, to all the laborers in the field right now, bringing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless them, preserve them, and keep them. And if they suffer for doing what is right, well, what a great reward they will have. So the number is 818-369-0326. I see my friend Brock Hollett, Dr. Brock from Florida, is listening in right now, and he's going to be actually joining us, believe it or not, for the Feast of Tabernacles. And the way he's going to join us is by video. He's going to actually put a message together for the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're going to play that message at one of our congregation meetings during the feast. And talking about the feast, by the way, Patricia, we are just days away from Rosh Hashanah, which will begin on the setting of the sun, September 29th, and then all day the 30th. And that will bring us to the 10 days of awe, and beyond the 10 days of awe to Yom Kippur. And then beyond Yom Kippur, 4 days later, the Feast of Tabernacles, an 8-day celebration where we have some incredible blessings that God is providing already. And we're looking forward to that gathering for the feast. I know it's going to be rich and it's going to be a great blessing. And for those of you who, you know, really don't understand what the Feast of the Lord are all about, this is a great time to see it. It's not legalistic, obligatory, or under the law, or any such thing. It is rich from the beginning of time to the end of time. Literally, from the fourth day of creation, God had the feast in mind when he put the sun, moon, and stars together, and then talks about this all the way through the millennium in Zechariah 14 and in 1 Corinthians 5, and we can go other places. So we're waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. And while we're waiting, Patricia, you have another thought there.
Concerning the feast, imagine people of like-mindedness coming together, one having one absolute aspect of God's perfect way in life and love, and another to build upon as living stones. Those who desire to be the bride of Christ will be gathered together and encouraging one another to uphold the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which is in the earth right now is very evil. That which is in our nation right now is very evil. And so goes our nation, so goes the world. It's imperative that we gather together, pray that the opportunity will even be there, and that nothing will hinder it, because anything is possible at this time. But there's another scripture I love to give scriptures, and it's in Psalm 21:11. Though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they cannot succeed. There is a great evil in this nation coming against it, but it will not succeed. God is going to rise up and take those that are his and gather them together to establish the greatest work that has ever been done on the face of this earth. The rest will have to pay the pulper's price. Do we want that? No. But that's the way it's going to be. Because all that is wrong and evil that has been perpetrated against righteousness is going to be destroyed. And it's happening. And you're going to see it with your own eyes. You have been created for a time such as this. So get ready. But come together for the strength. Come together for the moral uplift that God has for us and the wonderful, wonderful truth of his word being revealed in truth.
Yeah. And so in other words, it's time to get into the ark. You know, it's time to get into that because there is a judgment coming on the earth. I mean, the people have already been seduced into believing
against evil, yes.
Yeah, the judgment's coming against evil. And the thing is, the disaster that comes, whether it's a 9/11 event, whether you're in New York City or someplace like that, you have to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. That's imperative for the survival. But go ahead.
Well, what I just want to intervene in that is that actually what it is justice. Justice is being made. The Lord will do his will against evil and his will for those who are truly his.
Okay, so that is true. In the eternal sense, that's very true. And so look at that lady smiling. That's great. All right, so put your head over here just a little bit. Maybe we could join faces.
I prefer it.
You prefer the other. Okay.
Because we're trying to do it.
Yeah, so the devil that is behind everything, when you read the Bible in the book of Revelation, he has this power for 3.5 years over this entire planet. And he overcomes the saints.
You're watching it.
For 3.5 years. And so your admonition is to the body of Christ, the elect, the remnant, to gather together and get out of the way. And so these feasts are always a call to God's people to come up, to celebrate the feast. It's strategic in the sense of come out of the way. We're still looking at a prophecy in Amos chapter 8 that could be the most life-changing prophecy or event that we've ever known. If 9/11 was a life-changing event, then what Amos chapter 8 is suggesting during the time of the feast days, it's like a mark on the calendar. It's just there. And we're looking at it. We're watching it. It's on the radar. There's no doubt it's on the radar. And we're watching the earthquakes. We're seeing the flooding. We've seen what happened in the Bahamas. We've seen the school shootings. We know we're a sick society. We have tolerance and abominations and wickedness promoted from the highest courts in the world. And we're also witnessing a reformer by the name of President Donald J. Trump, who is leading a reform to some degree. He's not necessarily a Josiah. But again, didn't have as big a nation or a big a task as our nation, but there's been an incredible amount of reform. And we praise God for President Donald J. Trump that's leading that reform to a degree. But just like Huldah the prophetess said, that the young man Josiah, it won't happen in his lifetime because his heart was tender, but the prophecies will be fulfilled. And everything the word of God says will be fulfilled upon a nation that has openly blasphemed the Lord, shed innocent blood, and promoted everything that's abominable. So we'll get into that again maybe tomorrow. Patricia, we've got 30 seconds left to say goodbye and a final thought.
Final thought is, if you desire to be God's elect people, this is the time to make that decision. And who is the elect? Those who trust in him explicitly. Those who keep faith regardless of the circumstances and the situation, and those who choose to walk the very narrow path of righteousness. Gather with us and know that he is our power, love, and might.
Amen. Well said. We're Vincent and Patricia Xavier. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing. Right now, you can go to the Omega Radio Network on omegaradio.org. There's a roundtable discussion that Patricia is teaching with a bunch of friends out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a super blessed day. Shalom.